On Saturday, August 20th, as part of the 2016 Olympia Sync Summit, we showed a film that was put together by David Plate. After that film, we then did a live taping of Always Record. That's what this recording here is. We had a stage where we had four microphones set up. Started out with David Plate, John McGuire, myself, Alan Green, on three of those microphones as the host of Always Record, and then started to rotate those microphones out to make sure that a bunch of the people that were in attendance would be able to voice their thoughts on the film and just kind of get their voices into the mix. I don't know how much of this will make sense without seeing the film. I think a lot of it will, but probably a lot of it won't. So if you wanted to watch the film that David called Jack of Hearts, I'm putting the link in the show notes. It's going to be a Dropbox link. And it's basically the film Knight of Cups with a soundtrack by The Doors. It's one of David's sort of music and film pairings. We all got together in this venue at Obsidian, watched the film, took a quick break, and then turned on the microphones and had this conversation. This Always Record is not only unique in that it was recorded live with everybody in the same room, but it was also filmed. I don't currently have that video footage that's being sent to me, and I will eventually edit that and turn that into a video for you, but I wanted that you could at least get the conversation, at least be able to dive into the Always Record that you know and love, and I wanted to share this with you. So if you want to watch the film first, again, the link is in the show notes. Otherwise, get ready. Always Record, episode 163.
Hello. Yeah, the light is pretty intense right now. Life is intense right now. Andras, are we recording? Cool. Yes. Please do.
We wouldn't have it any other way. How could it be any other way? How could it be any other way? We'll all be magic supermen. We'll all be magic supermen. You guys know that? Sgt. Pepper Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Patrick has no idea what you're talking about.
After the 40, it's the piano gets struck exactly 42 seconds until it starts in with that, but it says, how could it be any other way, over and over again, and then you do it in reverse, and it says, we'll all be magic supermen. And it's like pretty, like, I don't know how they did that or whatever, but Patrick has the fucking sickest video on it ever. That and the life, is that, but that's not the same one as the life and death of John Lennon. And Life and Death of John Lennon is like 20 minutes or something, right? So that's insane. That's like one of the best fucking exposés on the Beatles you'll ever see. And fucking YouTube took out the volume because they suck balls.
David, can I make a request that on your mic stand, since you're a taller guy, if you grab that gobble the knob on your...
You want me to grab your knob?
Please. You can extend. You can.
It's fine. This is good. I like this. I like leaning forward a little bit. It's okay. This is good.
Lean into me.
Lean into me.
Lean into me. Gobble.
I just want you to extend my.
I think Andrasi probably thought he'd, you know, not let you know when he's ready.
Surprise.
We are. That's the whole point. That's really profound and significant, by the way. And I don't know how much Bill had that in his mind from the get-go. So what's the origin of Always Record again? What's the deal?
Bill Klaus. Bill Klaus, apparently, him and I had a really like 3-hour phone conversation, and then like a few days later did it again.
No, but who is it? Who said Always Record? What was he referencing? I forget.
Some Tenacious D TV show or something.
Oh, Tenacious D.
I love that movie.
apparently there's a scene where they like come up with a song while they're like really high or something, uh-huh. and then the next day they're like, hey, do you remember that song from last night? And then they're upset and they're like, always record.
Always record. Well, that's the thing. I think we're always being recorded, and that's the whole point. And then we go around, we like record things or whatever. There's a long time when we weren't able to record ourselves at all. And yet, at that time, you look at like, you know, Crowley Book 4 when he's talking about playing phonograph records backwards as like a practice to learn to speak backwards. It's like people were speaking backwards like a long fucking time ago, and they couldn't record their voices through the means that we record. So how the fuck people could recognize what it sounds like to speak backwards and like learn to do that like before? Like, just saying, it's a trip.
Okay, I'm ready when you guys are.
Oh, cool.
Cool.
Hit us with some spotlights.
So as far as like, you know, recorded people in history that have done bat masking, like where you play anything backwards, Crowley is the earliest that I know of that's on record of doing that. And then the Beatles are the second with Magical Mystery Tour.
And Crowley's on the record cover.
Right, he's on the record cover of the first album to play back masking like that. And then after that, it's Grandmaster Flash in the late 70s with all these hip-hop artists because for scratching. So scratching is still backmasking, it's just done really quickly. But the thing is that all of those original hip-hop artists had names that, like, you know, invoked the magician. It's like, I forget their names, but if you go through
Judas
them, it's
Priest.
Like every one of them has these, like, magician names. It's like such a trip because it's like, and that Beatles record, that's the one where they're all magicians. They're like, we are magicians. This is what we do with the comic book inside and all that, you know. And
so Judas Priest.
Yeah, it's just interesting that like the whole history of playing anything backwards. It's like there's these giant leaps, you know. And so it's Paul McCartney is in an interview saying that he had the idea from hanging out in a basement with William S. Burroughs to play backwards, and then that. And he's a Thelemite, and he talks about Crowley in interviews and stuff, talking about dreams and stuff. It's just quite a trip. Small world.
All right, so we just watched your Jack of Hearts video. I have a bunch of questions for you and things that I think people would like to comment on as we were outside. But people had a lot of things they wanted to sort of get into here, and I know our time is somewhat limited, so... if you don't mind, I just want to kind of jump into it. Give us a quick breakdown. What did we watch? What was the film? What were the albums?
We watched Knight of Cups with The Doors, L.A. Woman, and An American Prayer. An American Prayer was released after Jim Morrison's death, and the majority of it is all from recordings from his last birthday. And so just a happy sync. I share a birthday with Jim Morrison. So... And then there's this, at the same time as this thing came together, you guys haven't seen it, but it sounds weird. You like speaking about these things doesn't really do them justice. You'd have to see it. But if you play fucking In Utero with Chapter 27 about the death of John Lennon, it's fucking phenomenal. And so I couldn't show that here. I mean, I could have, but this is what wanted to be shown, and this is the resonance I was feeling. But I was born a year to the day after the death of John Lennon. And so for whatever reason, I'm like, strange days indeed. There's... Well, for whatever reason, this resonance exists. And so I heard about this movie, and I saw the poster for it, which was really just the cover of Israel Regarde's Tree of Life book.
Garden.
So, and that's not the origin of it. He used an alchemical representation of the four worlds with a palm tree for the cover of his book, Tree of Life. And so this director, I don't know, name? The director, I'm sorry, I'm just
Terrence Malick.
Yeah, thank you. He did the film Tree of Life with Brad Pitt. And so he goes, and with the Kabbalistic Tree of Life, you take the 22 arcana that correspond, the pathways connecting the spherot. And so like he does that, and then he does this. But I knew nothing about this movie. I didn't know it took place in LA. I didn't even know the cast really other than the few names that were on the thing. And so... immediately when I heard Knight of Cups, I thought of L.A. Woman because of the statement from Hyacinth House when he says Jack of Hearts. Because the first blog post I ever freaking did with the New Creatures Magical Mystery Tour, Magic with K, the title of it is Why Did You Throw the Jack of Hearts Away? And so I've been on this trip with that card, which is the page of cups, and its relationship to the Knight of Cups and its relationship to the King of Wands. This gets pretty complicated. I can't lay it all out here, and a lot of it is pretty right brain abstract. But the point is that the Knight of Wands has the lizard by his side. And he's the highest of all the royal cards, because when you're looking at the four worlds, which are communicated in the poster for this film, you're looking at the sheaths of emanation as things come into form from etheric to dense. And so the wands are the most etheric of the court cards. So and this plays out in a regular like playing card deck with the trumps removed and one each of the court cards. Because you can play any game, any card game, with tarot cards, as long as you remove one from the royals and the 22 arcana, and you can go to town. It's really fun. And I do that sometimes. I play gin rummy with my friend. Anyways, the point is that it wasn't originally the knight of the suits wasn't the highest of the court cards until Crowley. So Crowley did a thing. He did a few things where he manipulated the layout of like this template that exists with tarot, which is the origin of language. So like first thing ever to be written in alphabet was L save me, basically translated. And so L is, we'd say in English, A-L. And so Aleph, the first Hebrew letter, there's no vowels in Hebrew, so it's also E. So you have Elohim, name of God. If you lay out the 22 arcana in a Vesica Piscis, it's flanked by Aleph on one side and Lamed on the other. And so you have the Fool and Justice in tarot. And so Aleph is the ox as a pictograph from its Phoenician and Chaldean roots, right? And so it's opposite of the ox goad as Lamed, which is justice, which Crowley changed to adjustment. This is about
you're adaptation. Referring, just to be clear, yes. You're referring to this original image that you, before the movie, you put up this sort of...
Well, what I showed was the alphabet reverse with itself, and what happens when you take O and Z, Oz, which is Hebrew for strength, it's directly across from L and A.
Correct.
So, and because it's reverse, you have A-L-L-A. And so there's just, and so you have Liber Al, the Book of the Law, Aleister Crowley, basically his doctrine for the new eon. You have... this is the biggest sink that I've ever discovered in my life. It's very personal, and it's not very common for anybody to come across it and recognize what the fuck was going on. But basically, at one point, I was looking at an original scan of Jim Morrison's An American Prayer, and I noticed that every few lines, there was a dash. And so I went ahead... and I counted all the dashes, and I realized that it fit perfectly into the first book of the Book of the Law. And so there's a tool that's used, and I use it a lot with my rabbi. It comes up, it's a thing, where you basically, you can interweave words, but you can also interweave verses. And so where you, literally relate it to hands folded in prayer. And so basically I took Crowley's Book of the Law, the first section of it, and he invites this. He says it in the Book of the Law. He's like, leave the second part unattacked, but he invites you to play with the first. And so I saw is that Jim Morrison published this book with only 200 copies, gave it to his closest friends, and I forgot how to say it, paginated pages, so there's blank pages in the book, and all in all, it totals 77, which is the gematrical value of Oz in Hebrew. And so I could go on for days about the lightning flash and all this stuff.
But there's a space for this Oz LA.
Right. And so interplay. Basically it's just this next level fucking psychedelic communication between Jim Morrison towards Aleister Crowley. Because Aleister Crowley has the Book of the Law, and then he has An American Prayer. So he's like, if this is the doctrine for the next eon, and we're taking this seriously, just entertaining the idea that this is real and we got these channeled works, here I'm offering a prayer to it. And so this is a thing that I discovered that just absolutely blew my mind, because one of the last Doors albums people think is L.A. Woman, but really it's 13. There's an album called 13, and it's the only album that I know of that Morrison actually said was okay, compilation album to release. And so you look at the cover, and it's a reversal of the first Doors album, which is black, and Jim Morrison's in the shadows with the Doors next to him. Except this album, the Doors are walking away from him. The other members are walking away from him, and he's faced the other way, and it's light. and it just says 13. You flip the album over, and on the back is a stone bust of Aleister Crowley, Boom for Real, with Jim Morrison's hands folded in prayer above his head. And so...
So now you have this idea to interweave Crowley and Morrison. And here with this film, we have Morrison meeting not Crowley per se, but the tarot... they're using Rider cards.
That's
here.
That's the whole thing.
Right, but,
yeah.
but a beautiful correlation you could see throughout the film. It goes pretty freaking flawlessly in sync. I have to say that was an amazing find. John, I'm curious, what was your reaction to this?
Well, Will noticed something about Crowley right away when I don't know if it was the father figure or I think we were speculating it was his future self, the father from Black Sheep, Kevin Donaghy or something. So you have these maybe the younger Crowley and the older Crowley side by side. So there's that sort of mirror there. And for me, the film, I'm not sophisticated to deconstruct it on the ways you two do, but on a very muggle basic level, yeah, like Alan just said, it sinks in the right ways and very basic ways. Like he's singing about fire and there's it focuses cameras only on a bush, a burning bush with light behind it and so on. You know, it's these little things that line up quite nicely and are just oh, anyone can see it. And so that is a value of a sync work too, is to being able to appeal to, just to be able to point to things that are, whether someone believes in it or not, it's just a curiosity that anybody can see and you don't need to have any deep knowledge about it or any sort of insider.
You don't need to, no.
No. And that's,
yeah.
So I noticed a lot of that throughout, you know, and it's, I have a list, but it's that's something that anyone could notice.
Yeah, I noticed you grabbed my notebook and started taking some notes. What were you?
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, and then to get to the more personal level stuff, before this morning, Ben Garage and I were talking about briefly, performing your art in front of other people. So he makes a lot of beautiful origami and whatnot, and was just talking about doing that on the street to pass the time. He's actually making the things at his station during the day, and maybe people pay attention, maybe they don't. But that's we were just speculating, oh, that's an interesting way and I said, oh, well, the kitchen is like that. People like to see their food being made and so on. So
kitchen
any art-
sink is like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So people like seeing the art being made, and that's why anyone would come here, for example, to see the art being made here. But for a moment in the movie, they were at this very bourgeois party, and this ice sculptor was making an ice sculpture in front of the bougie people, for their entertainment.
Right.
Exactly that, making this amazing sculpture. But people like to see it. They do. And that's maybe a next level thing when all your security issues go away. It's just it's pure aesthetics and pure enjoyment of an experience, and that's what those people get to do. But it's sort of...
Okay, yeah. So can I actually... this is sort of tangential to the specifics of the film, but there was something... I don't know if this interests you guys, but sort of interested me, was the conversation of how is one meant to enjoy this, right? So throughout the weekend, before I came here, I made a 15-minute video that I made instead of sleeping or packing for this trip. I was frantically editing a 15-minute video that I wanted to show to some people here and sort of have a conversation about. Not something to play for an audience, but something to have a conversation started amongst the collaborators. And I started to show it to Will and David one night, and it was pretty late at night, but started to go, and then they start kind of talking through it, or oh yeah, this is kind of cool. This is what I'm like, no, shut the fuck up and watch this thing. It's 15 minutes, shut the fuck up, watch it, and then we could talk about it after, right?
Fair enough.
Then the next night I try and show it to them again, and they're like, didn't we watch this already? And I'm like, no, you watched the first few minutes.
I didn't say that. All right.
Somebody said that.
I'm not playing the fingers.
My point, though, is that, so then I made a comment where it was a minute and 13 seconds, and then Doug, he's watching it, and then suddenly he pulls out his cell phone and starts doing something. I'm like, okay. I actually paused it. I'm like, well, we made it a minute and 16 seconds.
Do you know how many thousands of times in my fucking life for real. I'm like, it's crazy. When I was in junior high, I would try and show people sync films, particularly like just like The Wizard of Oz and Dark Side of the Moon when I was like fucking 14. My brother showed me The Wall, and then I heard about Dark Side of the Moon. It may have been from him, but anyways, I did this thing, and it was like, how the fuck? And I would show it to people, and everyone would be all distracted, and then, or I have it on CD, and then the CD would skip, and I'd be like, fuck, we gotta start over. And they're like, just leave it playing. You don't get it. And I'm like, no, it's the third roar. And like trying to explain, it's like, if you do it slightly off, it's not the same thing. Like, it will go in sync because everything goes in sync because the fucking radio goes with commercials. It doesn't matter. You know, Wheel of Fortune goes really well with Dark Side of the Moon. It doesn't matter, but there's like this other level crescendo thing that can happen when you get it just right.
So, okay, so we start this here tonight, and then some of us start kind of having a conversation, a similar culprit in this instance, and Wright starts to have a conversation about the thing. Hey, did you see that? Hey, did you see that? And we're having the conversation. Should we be like, shh, watch the thing, or are we talking about it? And Will says, well, the point of this, us being here together, is to experience it together, right? He wants to comment on it, point it out.
That's his Will's style, by the way, well, except when he's eating.
but I'm being very serious here, though. And then I think Will made a comment to me, some that Hannah was in the back of the room, and he's like, can't you tell that she wants to dance? You know, and it's like this idea of like, how would you, that's what he said, I don't know, I'm not trying to project it on you, would you agree with that? Fuck yeah, right. So it was the question of, should this be a moment where you get to put your expression out there and other people get to put their expression at the same time? Or is it, hey, you're the man on the stage, you're the man in the spotlight, and everyone shut the fuck up and pay attention?
Shut up!
And I guess this to me is a question that like really struck me throughout was like, I could see both arguments. I wanted to respect your art.
Do you realize how often Jim Morrison said to shut the fuck up while he was playing to people? Shut up! Because they would have these long pauses of silence and let it build.
Do is be listened to.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a whole...
So I guess my question would be sort of like, not just these type of films, but, you know, is it something where I feel like with... Okay, so like I said, I could see both sides of the argument. I could see that we've come together here to be in physical space... Not to sit in, you know, are we to sit in quiet meditation and wait till it's over, or are we here to actually interact and be expressing at the same time? Okay. And like I said, I could totally see both sides of that, and I was kind of struggling with just the concept of it. And I wonder, finding things like this or being able to appreciate things like this, even any kind of synchronicity, a lot of times someone says, what's sync, you know? And like we've had this conversation of, is it meaningful coincidence? Is it this? How do you notice this? And it seems to be, I've kind of come to this shorthand of, just fucking pay attention. Okay. Just pay attention to what's going on around you. Now my question would be, do we reach a state of where we are able to pay attention and have these, you know, aha moments? Can we still express that in the moment? And I'm really not trying to single Will out here, but to say, like, can you say, holy shit, did you see that? Does that take away from the attention?
My relationship to these things is that I fucking watch them over and over and over again. This is just a line directly from the moment that the image pops in,
right.
The album. Okay, it didn't start that way, and it started with me playing LA Woman again, and then just not seeing the magic.
Right.
And I put on An American Prayer, and I saw the fucking magic. And then I looked at it, and I was like, there's a space at the end. What fucking goes there? And I'm like, Hyacinth House is the whole point of the whole fucking thing. And I know that there's this version of Hyacinth House that's like the original recording, take one. Like, this is it. And it's got this whole... It's what wanted to happen, and so I let it happen. Which is what... there's something I need to address here, because it's kind of important. Andras, like, I was in... another world. I was in another place. I don't know how the fuck, but like Andras called me when I was in the most receptive, like profound space imaginable with my friend having this whole experience. My friend has watched 60 sync films with me. You know, this is one of her favorites, you know, and it was like, I went to her and I was like, what should I do? Because, you know, we had this communication to conspire together, to make an agreement. And then to just as an experiment to see the way that it plays out with this fucking crazy thing with like seven films. It's like or whatever it was. Okay, Eyes Wide Shut, all three new Star Wars films, Ghost Rider and The Ninth Gate, with Beatles' White Album and fucking Charles Manson's Lie Album. And for whatever reason, and they're all aligned to their endings.
It was amazing, and it was what I really wanted to have happen here.
You pulled the disappointment card.
Well, I got double
swords.
Crossed in my double cross. Hold on.
Sir.
It's easier for the camper time.
Yeah, that's why we have it this way. This is the idea.
So I got double crossed in my double cross. And, you know, you can't get mad at someone for, you know what I was saying? It feels like body heat. And you're Kathleen Turner and I'm William Hurt. You know, mm-hmm. It's like mm-hmm. they conspired to get the money and then she pulled the double cross and leaves him holding the bag. And he's like, you can't really be mad at her because they just did that to her husband. So you're the husband in this analogy. And so I can't really. And besides, you know, after being screamed at by an angry clown, you know, everything is a little bit easy. You know, everything's a little bit easier. He's not the angry clown.
I have a deep, profound connection with the synchronicity that he opened up to watch, to take in when he was in a very receptive place. And he called me up to conspire with me. It's the only time in my life I've ever been invited to take part in a conspiracy. And it was really exciting. And
now you know he can't be trusted. Because when the CIA calls, he's going to be just as excited.
But this is the thing, though, is that I got invited to participate
too.
In a conspiracy, and I was into the conspiracy up until less than a week ago, basically. So I had an experience with this thing, and this is a brand new film, and I hold this deep resonance. And then I realized what was going on, because I was like, this film that I'm wanting to show with Andras is all about the sustaining order of the Tree of Life. It's 216, it's Gavora, it's that we're leaning all the way over to the left brain, and then we're going to tilt to cross over to the right. And what we think is going to be a smaller fish on the right brain, on the hemisphere, the collective level of the planet, it's hard to communicate these things, this is Zohar. That we're gonna go over, think we're gonna eat this fucking fish, and then we're like, oh my God, not only is this fish bigger than this fish that we think we are, but it's our own foundation that we rely upon. Because in formation, we start with our right brain, and our left replicates the pattern, and we relate to the left as though it's the most significant, and we try and enforce that through like this aggressive fucking character armor thing. And then like in the midst,
but
this is where the real strength lies.
But you had the smaller fish eating the big fish.
Right.
Like we... The big fish was on the hook. We were going to have the big fish.
Right, but what's the bigger fish?
Definitely a smaller fish.
But no, it's not really. That's why when you look at the page of cups, and the prince is looking into the cup, and he sees that smaller fish, and you look at his hat, and it's a bigger fish. This is the point, though. That one's really complex.
Okay, William
it's all
Blake.
About
yes,
the,
I get
the
it.
Two,
in a grain of sand.
The sustaining order complicates things in order to maintain the empire. And then it looks at that as strength. It's fucking Darth Vader with Obi-Wan Kenobi, red lightsaber, blue lightsaber.
I know.
Obi-Wan says fucking, strike me down, Darth. I'll become more powerful than you could ever imagine. Why is it more powerful than he could ever imagine? Because it's his fucking left brain and what he relates to as power. And so when I'm looking at Oz, L-A, A-L, Elohim, I'm looking at strength, I'm looking at Lieber Oz, Aleister Crowley, what constitutes strength, and then I'm looking at what is real strength, because what is real strength is foundational, it's the force.
We did What Is Real at the two Sync summits ago.
Right, so, well, totally.
Come on, we got to move on.
We're going
on
deeper into the spiral, man.
I know.
It's a tefillin, we're filling in the time. But no, I just, basically, I'm looking at two orders, and I'm looking at the simplicity of this. And I'm confronted because I really want to show the fucking film
up. It was like it was on a tee. They were expecting Jaws, and they were going to give them so much more. And then, no offense, but just in not less in terms of artistic merit, but in terms of amount of visual stimulation.
This is an advertising campaign.
We gave them less.
There's another film called Eyes of a Dreamer, and it blew his mind, and he doesn't even know, he probably knows to some degree, but my world fucking blew to pieces. Like, I fucking found something that blew my world apart, and I really want to share it with you guys.
Not, but obviously
I,
not
on,
that
no,
much.
Hey, I encourage you. You guys got fucking computers. You're on the goddamn computer.
You
can take some time out of your life to fucking watch this, like, thing that I put insane amounts of energy
into. But never conspire with David Plate. He is a rogue element. You can't trust him.
Hey, you know what? One is
Lando.
One is one. We had three fucking films.
That's all I'm saying.
And, you know, and I could show this. It was like, it was an invitation. I didn't have a choice.
You had
a choice? No, I thought I did. And you can't, if you were experiencing, in my perceptual lens and what I'm dealing with, I'm like, do I give them the manipulation of the name, or do I give them the fucking straightforward simplicity of the thing?
Okay,
and it's like,
okay.
It's the difference between Alejandro Jodorowsky reading and, like, you know, what Crowley presented is how you do a divination reading.
Boys, like, I have something to sort of propose here. Bring it back to this film for a second. So in this, in the Knight of Cups film, we see, what's his name? Bateman, not Jason Bateman.
Christian Bale.
Yeah, Batman.
Ball.
Yeah, whatever.
Empire of the Sun.
Christian Bale. But he's kind of doing this thing where he's playing the shell game with possible life paths, right? I could have this house. It's like he's house hunting. I haven't seen the film with the plot, but if you watch, he's constantly going into a house, looking around a different house.
Did you want to know? He's in the desert.
Uh-huh.
This is real time.
Right.
Everything else is all this collage of what's...
Sure.
Like, that's the present moment, is him in the desert.
So I said, I don't know what the plot is.
But I got it. This is where... Okay.
Sorry.
Sir, please.
So if you see, first, he's in the penthouse. Then he's in this sort of warehouse, right? The broken reflection of it. That, you know, you see him going into the Victorian house. You see him going into this Japanese-style Zen garden.
He goes into the Hyacinth house.
Right. He goes to all these different houses with a different woman in each. And it's like he's... all the possible paths are outlined of which route could you take.
Dude,
and seeing how
exactly.
if you take that path, you can play it out to its logical conclusion. They're all leading to essentially the same thing. So to say, Andros and I had a conversation about his Ready to Eight Ball question. He said, every day leading up, for months leading up to last night, you had a different Ready to Eight Ball question.
Yeah.
And the last minute you're like, okay, this is the question of today. It wasn't what I expected, but here it is. And I got to admit, I kind of enjoy you getting that.
Oh, I know.
David being like,
no, I get it. I set everyone up to, like, the conversation that David and I had was, we're going to lie to everyone out of a generosity to them because, and this was my feeling, is nobody, like, this film is impossible to explain. You can't put it on a poster.
Right.
There's no way to promote it. So we'll promote Jaws because that's a great image. And this film
it's
is so much
done.
More of the same kind of thing. Jaws is two pieces of media. This is seven pieces of media and the music
right,
and everything.
But, dude,
and wait,
yeah,
let me
yeah,
say, and this
sure.
is my point, is for me, aesthetically, I have, like, and this is just my own personal thing. I don't like sync films about... I don't like to watch sync films of movies that I haven't watched the movie. At that point, it's everything that I like about a sync film is pointless.
Because there's an interesting effect that happens later when you watch it.
Yeah,
and then you see any revisit.
I don't, but that's... To me, as a film artist, I want author's intent first.
Well, how many people here have seen Ghost Rider? How many people here have seen The Ninth Gate?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
And Star Wars, which is like watching the three Star Wars movies together, the bad ones. Watching the bad Star
They're
Wars.
They're not
movies.
Bad. I used
That's
to
what I'm
think
saying.
That they were bad.
When you watch the three of them together, it becomes this symphony. And it's what I'm saying is, I got so excited about this. And my point was that we agreed that we're going to lie to everyone so that we can get them easily into a room so that we can give them this other thing that we might not otherwise be able to promote, or it would be just confusing.
Right.
And,
but I'm still plugging it right now.
And
homework.
So am I.
Star Wars prequels, doesn't Natalie Portman basically pull a false flag where she's the handmaiden?
Yeah,
one is the handmaiden,
yeah.
And she does the switcheroo.
Right. No,
so we're getting a different Portman movie.
It's ridiculous.
And my point is, of course, yes, it as like my role in the Sync Summit, with hosting Radio 8 Ball and taking people on the Kabbalistic Tree, I am playing the shamanic coyote role, and this totally shamanically coyote to me. I got, like, I didn't get, like, I've been working very hard. This was my money shot that I was like, I couldn't wait to just sit back and relax and watch that. And I didn't get that, which is perfect because everyone was excited to sit back and watch Jaws, and they didn't get that.
Right.
But you notice I'm sitting here holding my heart because I'm fucking hurt. I am hurt. I feel like, and that's part of my lesson is like, I mean, I lied to Alan for like 6 months. He's being pretty cool about it.
I was honest to you to until the last week.
Yeah. So I don't know which one hurts more. Like, all I'm saying is that. And I'm just being authentic. I don't think you did the wrong thing. The whole point was what Alan said is whatever you guys can agree upon, then do. And I did agree to this. Like
I'd like to conspire to
double cross against people who trust you, and then you get burned. You know.
Can
honestly,
we move
that's
on
a better
to
movie.
What did people get out of this? Because we have people here
I need to say one thing first.
Sure. Yeah, you can have the last word.
When we're watching the fucking flick. And we're seeing L.A. Woman playing. And right when the song starts, he walks into the room to get a tarot reading.
Yeah.
Okay? She lays out the card. She's got the Nine of Cups, obviously. She lays out the sun next to the fool. What does it say? Are you a lucky little lady in the city of lights or just another lost angel, city of night? Okay? And you're looking at the sun. My whole trip of what is hard to... I'll try and encapsulate, but my study of Zohar... I'm looking at what Crowley did in relationship to the letters, because he moved everything over to the ninth gate. So you got these different gates. So basically, if you have a dollar bill and you look above the eagle's head that's facing to the left, you'll see a six-pointed star made of 13 points. Now, if you add points to that to create the next level of equilibrium until you have another six-pointed star, when you get to 541 points, that's the ninth formation that you can create. And 541 is the gematrical value of Israel.
What is real?
So, yeah, what is real? Okay, each one of those gates, you move through one gate to get to the next. It's not that like, oh, you have all these gates in front of you, oh, you're choosing this one. No, you gotta go through each one. Now, the prophecy that I'm transcribing from Zohar that I've dedicated my life to with my rabbi, we get to this place where we're looking at this, it gives the specific date for 9/11 with a full description of the event and what it means for consciousness to the day, not in code, explicit shit. And so I'm dealing with this in my life. I got my parents visiting. And I'm like, how do I convey to my parents what my life's work is right now? Because they're like, oh, what are you doing with your life? You know, I'm like, I'm transcribing Aramaic and Hebrew texts for the last 11 years. And I've come to a place now where I see like a description of the fucking thing. And it's describing this ninth formation. And that like, basically like everything's going towards the left, towards Gevura, towards severity. And we have every impression that it's just going to be disaster. And I'm saying, but there is a huge variable at play, and it's the Gimel, it's the High Priestess. It's the pathway between Keter and Tiferet. And that basically, it's the G. It's the source of the Masonic G. And so they have to relate to this pathway as though it's a diagonal, even though it isn't. And so what happened is I'm reading this text, and it tells you in the text to add up the gematrical value of the pathways of the diagonals of the Tree of Life. So if you're looking at the Tree of Life, you know, you got the tree, and there's 12 diagonals on the Tree of Life, right? And so it tells you to add those up, and you'll see the answer, and it doesn't tell you what the answer is. So I add them up, and I get 865. And then I'm like, 865 is nothing significant, but I'm like, oh, if you add 3 to that, you get 868. And there's only one word in Hebrew that I know of that equals 868, and it's a word from the first line of the Sefer Yetzirah. As significant as the Zohar, it's the book of formation, of how things come into form. And the word for the 22 mystical pathways equals 868.
Why'd you add the 3?
What's
because
the word?
Because Gimel is 3. Have to relate.
What's the word?
I'm terrible right now, but I'm not retaining the word.
868. Well, that's my birthday, so now I want to know.
Just so you know, all you have to do is look at the Sefer Yetzirah, look at the first line, and the word for the mystical pathways that equals 868, I swear to God.
So you got the number, but you don't got the name.
Right. So, but the thing is that when you're looking at the lightning flash of creation, if you add up the numbers of the lightning flash of creation, you'll see that it equals 777. And so you have this leap that has to happen from Bina to Chesed. And this is significant to our walk. This is even though we're talking about what we're talking about here, this is all coming later because this is huge, dude. So you have what needs to be a diagonal pathway, and they draw it as though it's there, but it's not fucking there. And if you know about the pathways and their directions, you know that these are dimensional. So you have a horizontal dimension and a vertical dimension. The vertical dimension is a spiritual dimension. So they have to relate to this vertical dimension, which is spiritual, as though it were in between. And that's the meaning of the Masonic G, and it's the high priestess, and it's the sacrifice of the sacred feminine. And so you have, and she crosses with the empress. And so basically I'm relating to this thing, and I'm doing this work, and I'm looking at Crowley's stuff, and I'm comparing it to what I'm looking at in Zohar. And I'm like, he knows how to unlock the fucking ninth gate. And he's doing this thing, and they're celebrating it, and rightfully so in their own sense, because we are where we are. It's honest. Look at what's happening. Like, that's what we're seeing. In Star Wars, what the fuck Star Wars is, those new Star Wars, they're fucking profound. They're all about false flag terrorism. What did Crowley do? He helped sink the Lusitania. He helped the propaganda to get the U.S. and the British involved in World War I to manipulate the masses to fucking fight and die for some bullshit. And we're at a place right now, I'm looking at, you've got a prophecy that gives the first two world wars leading up to the destruction of these towers in a Western nation. And it describes one world government and all this shit. And it says the variable for the third world war that's distinct from the previous two is that, and not only that, but the destruction of the temple, because it explains why it's 9/11. It's a reversal. So you have the ninth day of the 11th month in the Hebrew calendar is Tisha B'Av, which just happened last week, by the way. And so the day that's acknowledged as the destruction of the temple, which played into me wanting to show this instead of what we were doing, even though I really wanted to, is because they're basically saying you have this name that's in perfect equilibrium, and it's static in a sense because it's got this you know, expression saying, when we first went to speak, it's the shape of a mouth and it's the shape of a vagina for a reason.
Yeah.
Because we create with our speech. Yeah. And so saying this first time, like we emerged to go to speak.
What is that called? What is the
Vesica Pisces? This is my girlfriend.
No,
her name is Vesica.
No,
she's
no,
actually, this is Will Morgan.
Dentura. The teeth in the vagina.
Oh.
Vagina dentatus.
Dentatus.
All right.
So you got exactly what you wanted. Now, right. This is what I want to bring up. Now, admitting that you had no idea that this film was going to be shown, you actually quoted this film before you introduced it. Because you were, is everybody in?
You said, is everybody in?
Is everybody in?
You didn't know that I fucking had an American Prayer in the thing you were going to watch, and you said the line from American Prayer right before it started.
Boom.
Hey, Boom. Of course, man, we sink. That's what
and I didn't know I was going to get fucking picked yesterday. I don't know if you rigged it or whatever, but I threw in, why did you throw the Jack of Hearts away? And the name of my film is fucking Jack of Hearts.
Yeah, like I rigged the Radio 8 Ball. That's just insane.
Well, I don't know. You conspired with me.
See?
that was a low bow. Come on. That
conspire
was
means to breathe together, by the way, just to remind ourselves of that.
You guys were of the same breath. You took Andras's breath away.
There's a huge
Well, the thing is
difference.
That I know that I love this motherfucker to death.
To death.
And I know, like, we shared something in our communication of what we're doing here. We had an agreement. And I'm like, I looked at this and I said, no matter what, it's an invitation. And you know what? This is what wants to be communicated. This is what I want to share.
You know, I get it.
Can we move on to actually talking about the film instead of talking
now.
About talking
yeah,
about
so
talking
I wanna,
about
I wanna
the
talk,
film?
I want to talk about when the fucking are you a lucky little lady in the city of lights and you're looking at what LA is and the whole underbelly of the fucking thing and the whole glamour and the appearance and what that like it's fucking Babylon. This movie is based off of the story from the Pearl, where you have a prince who basically needs to retrieve this pearl. It's from a book of Thomas. Okay, he needs to retrieve this pearl from Egypt, and from a serpent. And he goes into Egypt to retrieve this pearl, and he's a prince. So you have this is the thing. I was like, why Page of Cups?
Well, I think a house is. I think a house is in a pearl and a house. But he talked about earlier, Alan said something along the lines of he's just going and like viewing houses. Like I could have this life or I could have
that life. Each house repeats the mold. That's a Jim Morrison line, by the way. But the thing is that he forgets himself.
He's real estate.
He goes to do this thing and he knows he has this task and this intention and he loses himself in the process of doing that, and he gets caught up in Egypt with the scene. And I'm like, the LA scene, he's caught up in the thing and he's forgotten himself. And the whole thing with him going out to Joshua Tree and what's taking place. Now, this is what's real time, is he's remembering himself. And it's the story of the prince, and it's the story of the pearl, and what's really most significant. And what stands out in space isn't what's most significant.
With the Jim Morrison tinge, when you're talking about like the pearl, Jim Morrison is kind of like a diamond in the rough in a way. Because we were talking about earlier how he is like the... he's the Ken Barbie doll, like good-looking pop star, but he's gravelly as far as like his performance and everything. It's like the dichotomy of L.A., where it's like freaking, you're in the shit. There's people pissing themselves and throwing up.
Right, right. Is everybody like in, and you're looking at homeless topless people in the film. You guys catch that?
Yeah, and it's that Help Wanted signs.
All
Help
it is, wanted is like, I started this album from the second Bingo that the Ray fucking people film starts to the second, and I fucking started from the second to American Prayer. There's no tricks. So it's just a straightforward, this is how it fucking lands. Is everybody in and you're looking at a homeless woman lying down in the street in L.A.?
Right.
No, everybody's not in. And so
she's
I'm
seen
like,
the movie, though.
I'm like, Crowley, what is the Book of the Law? Like, who is that really for? And so when it's hard to convey all of this, because if you look at, like, American Prayer and Book of the Law and see what's going on in the interplay and the responses, you know, because he's talking about... Crowley's like, my incense is of resinous gums and whatever, you know, and my hair, the trees of eternity. And then right afterwards, Morrison is like, Matchbox, are you more real than me? I'll burn you and set you free.
No,
wet bitter tears and excessive courtesy, I won't forget. You know, and it's like, Matchbox, you just fucking said your
Pharaoh
incense is a fucking, so it's all...
Okay, we were talking earlier about me kind of interrupting the film because it was impactful. Like, there was something going on that made me, like, want to get verbalization out. Because otherwise, the film goes by and you can't remember. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
I mean...
There's a lyric that he talks about when there's pharaohs. Morrison's. Anybody knows this lyric?
Yeah, he goes, this is a land where the pharaoh died.
Right.
In the movie, by the way.
Right, and it's like Christian Bale. Like... Wait a second.
Moses right, right, right. Exodus.
Moses.
Right, right, right. So he's in Mary, mother of Jesus.
Right.
Yeah.
What were you talking about? Okay. Laying it out.
Lay it out, dude.
Because we were talking about Natalie Portman this whole time. And I saw right before I came to the summit, I saw a movie called Jane Got a Gun. Jane was played by Natalie Portman, who plays Princess Amidala. Now... She was being chased and hunted down by Ewan McGregor, who plays Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Right, so you realize that the sync that I was going to show, that Andres and I had agreed upon, had fucking Ghost Rider with Ewan McGregor.
And Star Wars.
Who's also in fucking the new Star Wars, which
right.
is also
Natalie
in
Portman.
The sync we were going to show.
I had no idea I was going to set eyes on Natalie Portman. And the thing was, is we were talking about Natalie Portman being Mary, because Luke Skywalker's mother, the actress who plays her, plays Christian Bale's mother.
Right.
In Mary of Magdalene.
Right. Patrick could speak to that one, too, probably.
So it's Christ, because Anakin is Christ.
And she just walked by a bunch of portraits of Mary in her segment.
Yeah, like, while the film was going on, and that's what Jim Morrison was talking about, we were seeing Natalie Portman. But it was all this Mother Mary. And I don't know the story, because I haven't seen the movie, but you said something about abortion.
Yeah, as I recall, because I've seen it once. And then I just did this. I was like, I have to see it before I do it, at least. And from what I understand, because he's, you know, lament for my cock, I seek to know you, acquiring soul.
Like,
with,
yeah,
you know,
the whole cock.
But that whole thing about death, well, death, it's this whole, you know, creation death thing going on. And it's like, she's basically expressing that she didn't know who the child was, whether it was like her husband's or whatever. She's with this other guy, but she's seeing him. And there's this... I don't know if you, it's more applicable than one would realize if they haven't seen the film. It's fucking off the charts. And so when something's like that simple and then off the charts, like I had something really complex that I really wanted to share.
But
and
that's
like
the difficulty
like
that we're forced
fucking,
with, though. I mean,
you know,
like, because it's a complicated, there's a lot of subtext going on when you're watching a film like this.
In the first place. And then there's subtext all through the album. When he says the Indians on Don's Highway bleeding to death, and one of the Indians into his soul, you know, the hitchhiker, the real meaning of the hitchhiker. And then you go directly from that to blood in the streets in the town of New Haven, blood stains the roofs in the palm trees of Venice. And he's getting fucking robbed.
Right.
And so you're like, sir, is this my...
No, keep going, man.
Okay. I'm just saying that, like, they're connected. Like, for him to see that we build something on top of something else and we repress our acknowledgement of like what it is. Like, so that's my feeling, like, I'm like, as far as Israel concerned, like, I'm Jewish, you know, whatever. I'm a German Jew. I don't know what that means, but like, I look at what's happening in Israel, and I'm just like, if you taint the land, anything, like if you steal something, it doesn't have the same connection to you. And so it doesn't really have a sense of real gain. It has like an imitation gain, and it's kind of like empty.
You're
and
talking so about Natalie like, Portman again.
Yeah, yeah, I am. Natalie Portman was born in Jerusalem.
Right.
She's going to be the first person to film a film in Jerusalem. There's controversy around it. They don't know if it's going to follow through or not. And I don't know all the specifics around it, but I know it's her directorial debut in Jerusalem. She named her child Aleph. If you want to make a golem, you have Ahmet on his forehead, which is truth. And when you're done with it,
dead
you remove
baby.
The Aleph and you get Met, which is death. So truth and death, all the difference is the Aleph is a phenomenon that exists all over the place. Like the value of the Scarlet Woman in Greek gematria is 667, which is 666 plus one.
See, this goes really back to Aleph. Jane's Got a Gun, because her husband in that movie is the guy, his name, I looked it up just so I was like on point. Joel Edgerton plays Natalie Portman's baby mama to a baby that's presumed dead, like it's post-aborted.
Right.
And her name is Mary, but that guy, that Joel Edgerton guy, plays Uncle Owen, or Hayden Christensen's brother in Revenge of the Sith.
Right.
So he's Anakin Skywalker's half-brother.
Right.
Who
but it's the shadow. It's the unconscious fear that right. the thing that the whole
Vader is
of,
the shadow. Even yeah. even if you look at the old school movies, like Shaders, Shaders. So Vader's shadow is the movie poster. Do you know what I mean? It's like a little Anakin and his shadow.
Sure. Absolutely.
We were talking about the right and the left pillar all weekend, really, like the divine feminine
and the law
of man, like the difference between like the mountains and the skyscrapers, or the difference between the ocean and the pools. In the difference between Kate Blanchett is like an older woman, like that is the precursor
Bob Dylan.
To all
she's a tarot
of the
reader
young,
and what was it, The Gift, yeah.
Yeah. And all of the young women that he keeps chasing. Like, he keeps wanting to use up the feminine one. The only scene where it was after the dogs diving in the pool for the balls, like, needing a new best friend.
Right, right.
And she's playing with this dog toy that's, like, doing tricks, like, trying to impress him. Like, hey, the divine feminine's waiting for you.
Right,
let's go to the
best
ocean.
Friend, yeah.
And he doesn't want to go to the ocean. He wants to go to the penthouse in a pool with a bunch of, like, desert hookers that aren't fertile. They're not, like, that's not what he's using them for.
Right, right.
And it's like, even at the strip club, he ends up, I think there was like a woman that emerged from the cocoon. And it was weird.
Yeah,
like
she was wrapped in the thing on the above the ceiling and kept unwinding.
Like the feminine wants to return, wants to metamorphosize.
In the heart of the city, you know?
Yeah. That's fucked.
Or like Natalie Portman even, he almost had a moment with her at the beach, at the organic ocean. But then she winds up in like fishnet, like a cargo net or something, and it, like pulled right back
she's
up to the
in
penthouse.
The net, dude. It's totally
and then
symbolic,
she's like in tears because she's like miserable because she's, you know, potentially the natural, the right brain, the abstract, but he wants to like possess it. And even from like building cities themselves, like the skyscrapers, ended up in Vegas, and it's like representations of cities within a city. And it's, you got New York,
we
and you got
pyramids
Paris.
In honor of our escape.
And then you wind up in like that foyer area in
Vegas.
The home, and it's like a whole
the Vegas scene
miniature
in the movie.
City, and it's got where, a bunch of like slot cars running around.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
It's a city contained within a house.
Right.
And
right.
then the actual album is talking about the city at night, the city at night, and it's showing this model city.
Right. Because that's the question. You're like, is this day or is this fucking night?
Right.
You're relating to the name, and you feel this is the significance of Babylon. Because Babylon, you build a tower, and then when it collapses, no one can understand each other's speech. But the city itself is built out of language. And so it's acknowledging that like we have these built-in fucking assumptions into what we are in relationship to the world and relationship to each other. And that's what's been manipulated by the fucking elite. Yeah. And that's why I'm like, look at what you can do. Look at the magic you can fucking do. Because what I wanted to share with Andras is truly fucking magical, but it's twisted. It's manipulated. I fucking love it because it's what is.
You were pretty manipulative.
And at the same time, I'm like, where is the fucking straight path, the simple path? And like, it's like a thing that I'm seeing reflected in my own life because I'm like, look at what I can see, look at what I can do. And it's like when I do Vipassana and I'm scanning my body and I feel that sense of space And when my mind comes back in and what it can create, it's like, look what I can fucking do. And it'll create these insane, like, mandala. Like, I'm seeing alien landscapes and getting these visionary experiences to the max. And I'm like, they're, like, mutually interdependent, because the more space that I allow, the more complex the fucking thing gets. And I'm relating to these two pieces of media, this thing that I'm doing. I'm, like, hey, going back and forth. I'm like, do I give them the complex magic, like, holy fuck, like, mind fuck thing? But or do I give them, like, just a prayer?
Yeah, you can't embody it.
And I was like,
all,
if this is my fucking funeral, I don't know what's going to happen in the world. I have no idea what's going to happen. Shit's getting crazy. I'm seeing
you
the
get your kicks before the whole thing burns down.
Yeah, I want to get my kicks before the whole thing burns down. But at the same time, I want to get my kicks in a way that, like, that if, like, feels like right on all levels. You know what I'm saying? It's like, if you're choosing your drug, do you choose the drug that makes you not want to fucking take a walk on the beach the next morning? Mm-hmm. Like, that makes you feel like shit afterwards and kind of guilty? Or you take the drug that, like, the next day you've been up all night and you're like, let's go for a walk and fucking dip our feet in the water. Like, that's like, and so I'm like, okay, I'm going to approach this thing. Do I show them the fucking, like, get down to the fucking nitty gritty? Or do I share my intention? And, like, I relate to these pieces and I'm like, this is what actually is my intention. That's not my intention. That's something that's real, that's fucking honest, that's whatever. But at the same time, you know, you,
and
sir.
And yesterday when we were talking.
Go to the mic. The mic.
Okay.
Yeah. So last night when we were talking under the tent, you mentioned that you had made some mescaline for some folks at
we don't want to advertise that.
So you had spread some joy pills around the Burning Man Festival, and you said that, you know,
many years ago.
Yeah, it was
I'm long done with that.
Statute of limitations.
Let's say we're spreading joy and happiness to our fellow men, and what does that mean, and what kind of kicks do we get out of it, or some kind of mind expansion? And you said you got, like, a lot of joy from seeing people enjoying themselves or reaching a different level of thought or whatever, right? And you were a part of that experience.
Right. I didn't share something that's going to leave them into a place where they're feeling right. like fulfillment.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, is something fulfilling you, or is it just fucking draining
like
you?
Like what you just said. You
want
to go to the ocean and dip your feet in the water the next day and not sink into a dark hole. So, you know, I think in Sync especially, I think we all are trying to accomplish that through art. Can we make that psychological time or that bomb in people's head that's
right.
sort of like...
Well, do you want to fuck or do you want to make love?
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's seriously, mm-hmm. like, that's what it comes down to. Well, it's like, do I give them the fucking epic fuck or do I give them, like, a piece of my heart?
Well, mm-hmm. Robert Anton Wilson described it. He said that certain artists are seducers and then there's, like, the rapists. So it's just like we're trying to seduce people into our reality tunnel and not force it on them like a lot of mainstream culture is forced on us, right? So if we're creating new culture, it has to be based in seduction and it can't be based in the old way of doing things, which is rapey at best.
Sure. Well, there's the Miami incident. And so I had this whole thing because I put this film together, and last minute I'm like deciding, I'm like, okay, well, I'm leaving. Do I want an intro? And I was like, okay, well, if I'm doing an intro, I'll give an outro. And I'm like, what's the outro? And I think Fight Club. For whatever fucking reason, I'm like, Fight Club. And then I'm like, oh, well, there's the dick. And then I was like, I got to show my own dick. And so I'm with my
Wait.
Friend. And I'm, no, this is what happened. If you want to know what fucking
Wait,
happened.
That was your own dick?
That was my dick.
Fuck, man. Out.
And so, no. I'll share with you what the fuck is going on.
I'm impressed.
Thank
That's
you.
That's all I'm saying. That looked like a porn
No, okay,
dick.
Okay. No, I got it. Like, I
no,
have to.
No, I'm not coming on to you because I don't want anything to do with the porn dick. I was actually pissed off at you. But the fact that it was your own dick, like, and that you were kind of, you know, a dick to Andras in this symbolic way.
Okay, no, I got
that was a lot of dick.
I gotta share something, okay? This is fucking real, like, for real. Like, this is context of fucking everything. My first year at Burning Man, I'm up for 3 days. I'm up all night. I'm overdosed, fucking 6 hits of acid. And this is many years ago, and I walk out to the temple, which I'd never been to before, which is a way to communicate with people, loved ones who have died. That's the intention of the temple, right? I got
or go see
fucking,
Daft Punk.
I got Jim Morrison's The New Creatures and the Lords in my pocket, and I got fucking Aleister Crowley's The Book of the Law in my other pocket. True story. I go in there, I fucking fall to my knees in the center of the temple, and there's this woman crying. And I'm listening to this woman crying, and I'm on my knees, and I'm rocking back and forth, and I look ahead of me, and I don't know if you know about the Temple of Burning Man. It's happening real soon. All my friends are out there, and I'm doing this instead of that, right? Okay. And so, like, this is a thing. I'm fucking in this space, and I see what's written to a loved one directly across. I hadn't read anything else, and said, "Dear Quest, you know I've always been there for you. I've always done all that I can do. The dreams a child dreams for himself cannot all become real. Please forgive me for those dreams I was unable to make real." And I rocked back and forth while reading this over and over again, and it was signed Jim Morris.
Okay.
And I had this experience. So next year, I go back, American Dream year. I walk to the temple. I want to repeat the experience, right? But have it different or whatever. You know, I'm like open. I'm like, I walk out by myself to the temple, make a beeline. I'm going up a spiral staircase that one of my close friends fucking built himself, designed himself, fucking had to go in the middle of a dust storm and lay it in the center of the thing. He put a packet of cigarettes for my granddad, who I'm named after, David, who shot himself, of American Spirits, with a thing that I didn't ask him to write, but he wrote, "Rest in peace, David," at the center of the temple, the only thing above the stained glass of the fucking temple. And I read in front of me while going up the spiral stairs, my eyes are led to this thing that says, "I forgive all who have ever harmed me, even me." And I find myself...
I forgive you for your penis.
I'm going to share a story with you. I'm here.
I forgive you.
Thank you.
For the dick.
I forgive all who have ever harmed me, even me. And so I repeat it to myself over and over and over and over again. I just find myself compulsively just like, "I forgive all who have ever harmed me, even me. I forgive all who have ever harmed me, even me." And I walk out into the middle of the playa and I find a place where I won't get run over, where there's a thing standing up so I can fucking sit with what's happening, because I'm having this fucking like heartgasm, and I'm just like, flood of energy. This thing is just taking place as I repeat these words, right? And so I had this profound experience, and I walk back to my camp, which is a giant television set I DJ'd in the giant TV that I helped build. And we had, like, it was the American Dream year. So what do you want? What's the American Dream? If I can sit at a television set and have a chair. And so anyways, I walk back and I see my friend Randy, who's in a giant bunny outfit, dressed as a pink bunny. And he comes up to me and he goes, and he's having his own experience and he has no idea what the fuck I'm coming from. I just had one of the most profound experiences of my life in terms of like energy opening, right? And so I walk up to him and I'm like, you know, I don't even know how to speak. And he goes to me, he's like, "You know, it's like this." He's like, life. You walk out on the stage, you unzip your pants, you pull your dick out, and you say, "Here it is." And then you zip it back up, and you walk out. And he's like, "The more graceful that you're able to do that, how much dignity instead of pride? You know the difference?" And he was like, "How much dignity you have and how you're able to pull that off, that's it, man. That's fucking life." And so, like, I'm in a bed with my friend, and I just showed her this movie, and I'm thinking about, like, doing an outro, and I'm like, I don't have a choice. The Miami incident. He got arrested for indecent exposure. No limits, no laws. Come up on the stage. Fuck it.
Well, and what's interesting is before the movie started, Misty walked in with her wand in her pants in a way that basically looked like a cock. And I'm like, oh, that's, you know, alluding to, oh, the nice dick. And the final picture, it began that way and ended that way. So that's another perfect sync. It was a part in the movie where, I'm forgetting who Alan was talking about this, but they were comparing maybe it was with you, Misty, the orca and the bee. And there's a scene with one of his ladies at the pool, and she's scooping out a bee from the water. So there's this, like, aquatic bee that she's then pulling out and excavating for us to look at. And so it's this hybrid of those two, whatever, symbols or animals or totems or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So that was pretty cool. And, well, Patrick, did you get, like, impressions? Can you just give me impressions or anything that you've
focused
on?
It's hard to follow that last story, though.
Yeah.
How much time do we have? Because...
Just don't worry about it, man. Just, yeah, it's whatever. Alan will come in and give us the fucking cane and tell us when to go, so that's fine.
Well, anyway, it's all about Natalie Portman for me with this, because, like, the last few months I've been just obsessed with the Star Wars prequels, and Natalie, specifically Natalie Portman's role in that, and that she's the foundation of the Empire. Like, the Empire was founded on her death.
Right.
And she's the death card in this film. And there's just so much going on. And, there's a scene where they're standing in front of a painting that says hope. Mm-hmm. And when she died, the last thing she said was that there's still good in Anakin. She died with this hope.
They lived on
through Luke, who was presumed dead. Nobody knew Luke was born.
Right.
And
New hope.
A new hope. Exactly. That's it. Boom. For real.
That's fun.
Is it?
No, that's great. That's great.
It fucked in a good way, of course.
Oh, I mean, right, like, right,
yeah,
right.
You come know, on. You know how we are. It's all paradox here, so it can mean all these things.
We're fucked.
Right.
We're fucked. Not we are fucked, but we were fucked.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, no, I wear that as a badge of honor.
The water and
sure.
the desertification, those juxtaposition of those two themes. Like even towards the end, he ends up in some canal, like the LA River or something, with like the
Babylon fading.
Yeah, concrete embankments. Like, you know, the birth canal is like become concrete, and all you see in the background is big freighters shipping in actual like industrial merchandise
right.
and it, like, you know, constructs of material objects. And it's like you're not birthing anything natural. What you're shoving down the canal is all this material.
Right, but they're both happening at the same time.
Yeah.
And that's the profundity of the thing. Because you have two orders to the sphero. You have the formative order, what the Europeans relate to as the 777 lightning flash, which is organic. It's like the Fibonacci sequence. It's the expression of organic life and the way that things come into form. And then you have the sustaining order of the empire, which is relates to the 216 letter name, where Moses speaks it at the Red Sea when the waters part and the slaves are able to exit and then the oppressors get crushed. And so we're dealing at a time where you're looking at who was the oppressed becomes the oppressor because there's nothing you can fucking measure anymore. Because everything fucking almost cancels itself out. This whole thing just takes place and we have to reflect on the dualities and recognize the polarities in the midst.
For clarification, like... Yeah. Christian Bale is Moses. Is that correect?
In Exodus, I believe so.
In Exodus, he plays Moses.
Right.
So he's both like the Pharaoh.
Sure.
He's the Pharaoh and yeah. he's at the one who frees the people.
Right, because if you go
and
to...
And then there's Natalie Portman involved, who we were saying was Israel. It's like the Israelites. That's fucked.
Right. If you build something, you're utilizing the sustaining order of the empire. If you create something, you're using the formative. And the two coexist. And the formative is primary... to the sustaining, because the sustaining can come or go, it can do what it needs to do to establish itself, but it's imitating the other order and it can only get so close. And that's the meaning of the septogram of the Book of the Law. It's like you don't have a vector equilibrium, but you're approaching it to the best of your ability. And so like basically you have these different expressions of art that are relying on the different, like basically I was gonna show you guys Jaws with 007 and The Spy Loved Me. Spy Who Loved Me came out in 7/7/1977. Spy Who Loved Me came out 7/7/1977. That's the point, it's a 777 thing, but it's because John Dee had this whole thing with 777, but he was with Her Majesty's Secret Service to coexist. He's doing false flag ops just like fucking Aleister Crowley, which is empirically proven, it's not a debatable point. With the Lusitania, just to be clear, because people say a lot of things about whatever. But if you compare that book of Secret Agent 666 with Confessions, his autohagiography, you'll see that everywhere he goes for an espionage trip corresponds to a ritual that he's doing at the same time. I wouldn't argue that one is actually even a cover for the other. I would argue that they're actually the same fucking thing. And that's what's going on. The way that people relate to magic is they have these kind of conceptions around the thing. They don't realize what practical magic actually implies. It's like, this is practical magic. The thing I was going to show the thing I shared with Andras that he wanted to share with you is practical magic, but it's of a different type. And so like, I say attraction and aversion, two sides of the same thing. I have no aversion to the 216 letter name, 6 × 6 × 6. You add 7 + 7 + 7, you get 237. Like this is something that's like a part of the thing, it's an aspect of the thing. You know, it amounts to the same if you resist it or embrace it. It's just fucking what it's the fuck it is. But what does matter is what you acknowledge as primary. Because when fucking Obi-Wan is standing there with his blue lightsaber, you know, Yakin, and you got Boaz, you know, so established in strength, the two pillars of the temple. As soon as you say established, you know that this is it. When you say in strength, you're just pointing back. You got Aleph on one side, the life breath. You got Beit, the house, on the other. And that's the structure. And then you have the essence. And so when he says, fucking strike me down, I'll become more powerful than you could ever imagine, he's confident that he knows that the force is what's primary and the force is foundational. And that fucking Darth Vader thinks he knows what strength is, what Oz is, the 77, and the pathway that connects Chesed and Gevurah. And like basically like he's like, you know, the walk. He's like, this is where the strength of the empire lies. There's no amount of imagination that Darth Vader, who's more machine now than man, like the odd, that he can muster that could ever compare to the actual formative order of creation. And so, like, Ben, that's the whole thing. Ben Kenobi, he knows that, and so he's willing to get struck down.
The beast is impotent. The beast cannot reproduce.
Right, not in reality. He can make things, but he can't create.
He can enforce his will, but he cannot create.
Right, exactly.
That's what you're doing with the movies themselves. I mean, how many layers can you keep putting in? There's not a high enough resolution.
This is just light and water. And my whole fucking trip, and I don't know how many of you guys, but I'm like, 42 degrees is the angle at which light refracts water to produce a rainbow. The answer to life, the universe, and everything is 42, but that's only if you can say the question in words, because the ultimate question can't be fucking spoken. That's what I take from Douglas Adams. But the thing is that when you're doing an experiment like this and you feel that extreme resonance and the two come together and you're like, you think it should be chaotic, you know it'll go in sync to some degree because everything does. But when it goes over the top like that, it's like a rainbow. It's like what happens when the light refracts the mist after the storm and you see the fucking thing. And that's all these traditions. That's Egyptian mysticism, the 42 principles of Ma'at, expressed as a peacock feather. That's the Sri Yantra, 42 triangles. Thank you, Kevin Halcott. You know, the thing that we're told to visualize at the moment of death, if you're an Indian, you visualize this at the moment of death, right? It's a yogi thing to do. It's 42 triangles. And then you have the 42-letter name of God from Jewish mysticism with the Tefillin scroll. And this is what you're told to say to yourself at the time, to visualize at the time of death. And each one of those things is expressed as a rainbow in the tradition, because the Shekinah relates to the 42-letter name, the first verses of Genesis, the first 42 letters of Genesis up to where it says chaos before it says void, you know? And so this is an expression that when we look at a rainbow, we're seeing as close as you can get to a crack in the sustaining order of the empire to see.
Well, David, I'm glad you're visualizing this at the point of your death, because I'm striking you down to make you more powerful. I want to give, if you would step down, I want, instead of you explaining, I want people to celebrate what you did. I want to get their reactions. It's already after 4 o'clock. We're running down on time.
Oh, you want me to get off the stage?
I would like you to come down.
Oh, sir.
Get out of here.
Bring out the hook.
Yeah. It's not a matter of, like I said, I'm making you stronger because I want people to be able to celebrate what you did. Patrick, I want to be able to hear from you.
Jason, come up.
But Patrick, what was your reaction to this film?
Well, I loved it. It seemed like a film that needed music played to it. Like there was little dialogue. I don't know. It seemed like just a montage of a guy, like a day in the life of a guy, in his empire. It was beautiful. Like I was just grooving along to it, and then when Natalie Portman came on, I perked up, of course. And then it just every single thing just confirmed everything I've been obsessed with over the last almost year, which I've been seeing in other films, of course, too. But then this just confirmed it all. But really quickly, I wanted to get back to the pillars. Like in Attack of the Clones, when they're ushered into the arena, Obi-Wan Kenobi is attached. He's chained to the pillar on. Like, right, if you're looking this way, Anakin's chained to the middle pillar, and Natalie Portman, Padme, is attached to the left pillar. And Obi-Wan's pillar gets knocked over by the beast. The beasts come out to devour them. And Padme climbs up to the top of her pillar, and she's scratched by the beast. She gets these three scratches on her back, which is, you know, the 111.
Olive.
Yep. And her son in real life is named Olive. Anyway, so she receives this mark of the beast. And Anakin tames his beast. He unchains himself, and he gets onto the beast and rides it. And it ends up being Jango Fett, the father of Boba Fett and the entire clone army. So they share this fatherhood resonance. He's the one that kills Anakin's beast. He can only tame it. Meanwhile, Padme, with the three stripes on her back, which are horizontal, she rotates them 90 degrees to make it a 111. The life breath, which she gives to Anakin as he's dying. She sacrifices her breath to give to him so he can fulfill his destiny with Luke, the son that was, who was thought to have died before he was born. And in the movie, she had an abortion, right, David?
I believe so. I watched it once before I did
that. Oh, okay. So I don't know, it just all ties in this really beautifully mystical way.
Right, that would all go back to the Gnostic Sophia abortion.
Say again?
That would all go back to the Gnostic Sophia abortion.
Explain that?
In the Gnostic creation myth, Sophia
abortively creates the universe, and the product of that is an abortion in that it's an unfinished creation.
Does that have some etymological connection to philosophy, like Sophia, like something about knowledge?
Yes, because it's the Greek word is the love of wisdom, or philo Sophia.
So it's back to the tree of life or the tree of knowledge, like the two pillars.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's like anti-Platonic, right? It's basically saying perfection is a myth and you can't get it because the universe is imperfect.
No, because it's saying that there's an archetypal pleromatic realm, and then the lower world comes into creation as a kenoma, which deviates from the original archetype that was envisioned by Sophia in the primordial creation, and that's the thing in Proverbs 8 with the wisdom figure there and so forth.
So we can only hope to like join with the archetype, not really become it? Is that a better way of thinking about it? Like all this striving towards perfection, it's like it's a fallacy, but we can join with perfection in a way. Is that
to realize the archetype in the lower kinomic world?
Yeah. Yeah, it's more of a joining than a becoming. Would you agree with that characterization, or is that totally wrong?
It can be both.
It can be both. Okay.
Like we try to reach higher and higher resolutions, but it's never the actual thing. It's just representations of the actual. It's just descriptions of what you're trying to say.
Right, and here you have Los Angeles as sort of the uncanny valley, where you've got all these beautiful images. They don't have the substance
yeah.
to go along with them. So then the Valley of the Dolls is that whole thing where you've got these beautiful doll-like figures that are just waiting to really be ensouled by like a living essence. And so then you've got Moses as Christian Bale going out into the wilderness. And so again, we've got going through this uncanny valley towards like a greater theramatic perfection. Mm-hmm.
It's all in the mood. It's all in the expression. It's a piece of David's mind trying to say the universal, and everybody's trying to elaborate the universal. And it's all uh-huh. like we could elaborate and elaborate because we're never going to catch up. We're never like we're already in the expanse of everything, and like we can make representations and try to point to clues. You know, we can try to be like, you know, maybe this is what's going on here. Maybe that's what's going on. But like, it's already going on there. And it's like we can try to build up a city, or we can try to build up like a Vegas city and with a, you know, Paris and New York and Venice and all these cities within a city, or we can try to build up that model city in the home where it's like, you know, model race cars and it's like, you know, slot cars, and it's like containing a whole city, like personally, oh, can I own the city? Like, can I own these women? Like, can I keep them in my penthouse? Like, can I put them in cages or whatever's going on in there? But at the end of the day, like, you can't contain the ocean to a pool. Like, you can't contain the mountain to a skyscraper. It's like those things already are, and I understand why we want to keep building big. Like, he drove by a bunch of satellite dishes at a certain point, and it was like, we're trying to reach out, but this shit's already there. It's like, we're trying to find it, but... And it's an exercise. Like it's worth it because it all does add up, and we see how each pixel, like if they relate to each other, like we're all doing, you know, trying to relate our minds together, we can expand even David's vision. But we're just trying to explain the same exact thing from different angles that's already primary, and we don't to go through the exercise of the law of man is just to understand the primary, you know, divine feminine that's already there.
Right, LA woman, law of man.
Yeah. Yeah, right in the title, right in the opening. It's like the intent is so beautiful. Like, it was super duper dense, but like there's still so much to add, and if we could keep going all day. We're talking about time limits, like how much time we got, because it's like this could go on all night, and it's what I think Always Record really has always been. Like I got in it, I think episode 36, which was Roger Rabbit, picture of Roger Rabbit in the tree and a lightning strike, like down the flux capacitor. Vesica Rabbit. Like I mean, this is just like a further elaboration, and I'm further along, and I understand it further. But it's like people dedicate their whole lives and vows of silence, like you've been talking about. In, you know, you can only understand it to an extent because we can't contain it. There's no container we can put on it. We can't build a house around it. We can't, you know, I don't know. That's how I felt about it. And even there's a point in the movie where, or the point in your movie, where he's actually like, don't say I didn't love her. And he's like,
got his hand and he's like feeling along the buildings, like he thinks this is what he should do with her. It's like he's trying to figure out, like, it's not my fault. Like, right. Into this world I'm born, like, I don't know, like, isn't this what we do?
Right, the whole city is the woman.
Yeah. It's crazy. I was getting chills, like, constantly, like, coming and going. Like, even, like, the posh people partying in the pool at the penthouse, like, in their suits and dresses and everything. And then, like, they're going giving, like, swimming lessons to the little girls, like, you know, teaching the youth, like, oh, this is how you do it. But at the end, they actually take them to the ocean. And it's like, if you need a new age and you need to, like, what, how do we become just one with the thing instead of trying to, like, make some altar of the thing? It's like
you explain it like an expansion and a contraction to me. You put it in like sort of a cosmological sense when we were talking outside.
Yeah, well, it's all the same. It's all just breath. Like it is all just inhale, exhale. It's like there's no. It's all a part of the same process.
And the way it's like the film is sequenced, it is like a things starting over. You know, he's back. He's in the wilderness. Then he's back in the regular world, and so on and so forth. So it's showing, those cycles, that breath, and so on.
It's almost like a strobe light, where it's you're seeing a glimpse, then it pulls away, then a glimpse, then it pulls away.
Yeah, but it's also super chaotic and not linear at all, which is like actually how heartbeats work and how other systems in the human body work. They work in a non-linear, totally sporadic-looking way, where you would think a healthy organism or a healthy psychology is like perfectly linear and steady state, and that's not really how it goes. I mean, there's a steady state to it because that's what we are, but it's highly, lots of fluctuations and so on. So it encapsulated that very well. And then, So you putting in cosmological terms, you know, it's like for me, as a more scientific-minded person, I'm always trying to find ways to tie those analogies together. It's like, what are the best analogies coming from theoretical physics or the best analogies coming from fucking 12th century Europe or wherever the hell these ideas come from, you know? It's like we could speculate on and on, but it's like the depth is there. And I don't know, it's like we're always just trying to add more and more to it. And so this is like an example of that. Andras introduced these films. It's like, hey, did you know, you could put like Dark Side to the Moon to Wizard of Oz. And this is just an evolution and more and more evolution. And that's like, I think what we're aspiring towards. And that, it keeps me inspired. And it's like all the art I see created, even if I don't understand all of it, I always put in the framework of evolution. It's like, this is like people trying, this is what people are. For better or worse, I don't know why, but it's like we're manipulating monkeys and we just need it and we just play with it constantly. And it seems to further us in good directions in a lot of ways until it becomes like fascist and corrupt. But if we can avoid that, hey, it's very liberating and artistic and all the good things. I mean, it's an ebb and flow. It is. I mean, but it's
gonna,
like...
It's going to purge itself. It's going to nullify with stuff. But in all likelihood, it's not going to be an easy process.
No. But better than ever, we have like more of a lens than ever to see like sort of how these things can become perverted. And Patrick, you mentioned it's like, you know, you're inspired to see this like the empire built on the feminine, but it's like, do you see the empire in like sort of the Dickian sense, right? Or are we talking about something like much more?
Just specifically the Star Wars.
Okay, universe? Okay. All right. I guess I just can't help but think of it in the general symbolic way.
There's nothing to fucking prove that that's strength, other than people insisting it and like a consensus affirmation that people, it's like it's an agreement that people have made in their consciousness that reflects in their perceptual lens of fucking everything. And so that's the thing about the lower circle. So they say, if you make a change in the horizontal dimension from the left to the right, that's reflected in the other dimension, and it brings what's been repressed or it brings what's been subjugated, like the sacred feminine, returns to what it is that she's been separated from through another dimensional shift. Because we can't see what'll happen when this happens. We can't infer it because it's in the invisible realm, because it's primary. Like, the more etheric something is, the less apparent it is, like in the sense of the senses. Like, if you're, like, utilizing your senses to interpret information, you can only get so far with that.
Mm. And it goes back to the building up of the tower in the erection.
No, 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 get through your ass.
It's like people chasing desire. It's like chasing the desires, building up an erection to a point where it blows, and then it goes back down. It's like satisfying, like, you got to chase the urge, and you got to satisfy the urge, whether it's the sexual urge that it's like being analogized for the industrial, or I think freedom versus enterprise at a certain point, it was juxtaposed.
Right. The first was called freedom, the other one enterprise.
Yeah.
They laughed and they told me a story.
Yeah, and it's like the same, but like we know we're building up towards destruction. Like we know like the impulses, I think we were even talking like evolution. Like it's the desire to see that we develop eyes, or the desire to, it's like we're chasing our desires and we're refining. But we know it's building up to when we just bust the fucking whole nut, and then we go back down to like, okay, I'm satisfied, until we get that desire again.
But
and
where
it's like,
it for the transcendence yet.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen until the opposites clash to the degree that they fucking, you know.
Then it means we can't come. It means we have to like learn from our mistakes and you hold it in.
Yeah. Please, Mother Nature first before we come.
But yeah, it's like we're. I don't know what I have to say, but yeah, Misty.
I forgot where we were when I ran up here. I was trying to bring it back to the reason why I ran up here, but I was saying something about I was thinking about Tantalus and water and half below and half above and not being able to predict fully the expectation, the results, because the light bounces. It's like if you're underwater, like I don't know if you've ever spent any amount of time underwater swimming.
Refraction, right?
Yeah.
Light's refracting.
So like you're looking up and it's like if you go to reach for the thing through the water, it's always
in
slightly
a different place,
off.
Right.
And you can try to perfect that more and more, but it's kind of impossible.
Eldorado.
Fully. Eldoran?
Eldorado.
Oh, Eldorado.
The story of Eldorado, where you want the gold from Eldorado.
I was thinking of the car.
And you go to bring the gold back, and it turns to dirt. It's like that principle where you go to another space, and like, here, that's what this is for me. This is like, I go to a crazy psychedelic space, and like, I want the proof. It's like fucking Dr. Seuss's unorthodox taxidermy. Where
you but you have to be, you have to be fractured.
I went on a crazy psychedelic journey. Here, let me prove that there was substance to it.
It didn't turn all the way to dirt, though, man. I mean, it still has some luster to it. I mean, I know what you mean. You can't bring back the full entire thing, but
that's the desire, is to bring back the gold.
You want to.
It turned to dirt. Because you go into the space, and you're like, here, let me show you.
But that's the risk. I mean, like, you have to.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's a compulsion. It's like a moth to a candle flame, right? Something like that.
Yeah, it's a creative impulse. I mean, you got to try, like, talking about Fraggles and the Doozers the other day. It's like them guys just build. They build. They don't know what they're doing. They're just doing what they're doing. It's like essentially, unless you're going to sit there and not try to communicate with anybody and not try to relate to anybody and be so weird and so alienated that, like, oh, I don't feel the need to even communicate with somebody. Like, unless you're going to go down that route, you're going to try to relate to somebody and hopefully on a substantial level.
That's kind of interesting because it's like a lot of this work is sort of alienating. But if the theme, like, you know, you and Patrick are especially like coalescing on, it's like the feminine and return to matriarchy, or in a sense, like, you know, bringing it full circle and find a way to hybridize these systems of patriarchy and matriarchy. And so the question is, like, if we are becoming like more isolated by it, that's like the opposite of matriarchy, which is like pretty socialist and pretty cooperative. So we have to like always keep in mind like the community aspect of things, and like to be a lone artist is like,
and it only gets so
along those lines. I just want to let you know, this is the 10-minute warning.
Thank you.
And it can only get isolated and dispersed enough before it contracts again. Like, I mean, the inhale to the exhale.
Yeah.
Because we can't separate each other. Like, that's the funny part about it. Like, we can feel alienated, but we're on this planet. Aww. Like, it started with an overview of the Earth. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Like, we can't really isolate each other. And it'll eventually collapse down because there's a practical need for everybody to do their part. And the more we build up and we have augmented reality and things, we think, like, we don't even need friends. We don't even need whatever. But it's like, yeah, we're all parts of families.
I have a great story. I have a great story. I have a great story about friends. I have a really great story about friends. So this is a wand. This is the wand that was in my pants when I walked in.
Yeah.
The one you told us Misty's not cock, to let David right. touch.
Prime director. Yeah. <that you remember. laughs> Anyway, when I found this one, I've been meditating with it, like before I go to bed, playing with it, and I noticed that most all the shapes are just like a crescent moon, five-pointed star, circle, square. Until about a week, after hours and hours and hours of pining over this, I see this tiny blue dolphin, and it's like significantly smaller in size than the rest of the sequins, and I like freak out because I'm like, are you kidding me? It's like a deprivation tank with an air bubble, and the one animal that I find in this fucking thing is a dolphin. And like on a personal level, it was awesome because I'm really into John Lilly's work as well, so and like, you know, whatever. And anyway, so I thought that that was magic in and of itself, but then so I'm going over it again and again and again, still playing with it. And like a week later, I find there's a second dolphin.
Oh.
A little pink one. So they're in there together. What? There's two.
We're going to break it open and count.
No. No. We're not going to unslink the slink.
We're going to put it back together.
No, you can't do that.
Awesome.
You can't.
We're doing it right now.
You
can't.
No.
But it's the classic Castaneda principle of, you know, you get an ally, you know, when we're all each other's allies, I think.
Yes.
You know, it's like that's sort of what we're looking for and what we found, I think, in each other in varying degrees on a various spectrum. And so that's like that is one of the most fundamental magical principles that I think about. It's like, you know, who does it bring me into contact with? And that's the most important thing of like what I do, and I think what all of us do. And that's why we keep doing it, because if it just like kept turning us into isolated freaks, we would like totally stop. And yes, it does turn us into freaks, but it, like in a hopefully a better way. And I think all the people I've met here, it's definitely helped.
Oh,
like,
definitely.
Turn them into more thoughtful and like compassionate and like more dynamic people to speak to. Because it's not just all about, oh, is it Hillary or Trump? Who the fuck cares? Fuck it all. It's like, this is where it's at, and this is like what the discussions that really matter.
Ow!
So yeah, I'm
total
like
democracy of souls, man.
Democracy.
So I know we don't have much time left, so I just want to say that it's been like a real pleasure to meet up with everyone again in a physical way. I was able to do it in Boise, and now we're able to do it again, and people that were at the Sync Summit 2 years ago are back again and able to relive it again, and it's wonderful. And I hope these never end, although, you know, nothing lasts. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know. We're unique in our strange way. It's like we are a part of a lineage of psychology. It's like part of Discordianism and so on. It goes back to Dadaism and so on. And so we're part of
Discordianism. Oh,
so
Discordianism.
We're part of a
Discordianism.
An important sociological and political and psychological continuum that's gone back a long way, and now we're still continuing that. And it's important.
Splash
we're not
Mountain.
Just we're not just like out of nowhere, you know. We have a place in the universe, and that's, I don't know. Our time and place needs us. I don't know what for, but it's like let history judge. So just keep going.
Yeah. Amen. In the background is the Natalie Portman, Mary, stuff going on.
That's what Sivak was pointing out.
So we're under 10 minutes here. David, is there anything you want to say here at the end?
This is your 5 minute.
Oh, this is good. This is good. You can hear me. No,
I just want to say
this is like a real, like intimate, real screening. And like I appreciate it. It's really like, you know, I this is the first time
I appreciate you.
This is the first time I fucking left Santa Cruz since the last Olympia Sync Summit, with the exception of going to see the Kubrick exhibit in San Francisco, which was recent. And so, like, you know, I broke up with my girlfriend. We had this thing right after I left here. I've been total hermit out, you know, hermit mode. And, you know, the hermit's Virgo, by the way. It's interesting that it's a man at all. If you're caught, it's caught what the lyrics were going on when it got to the hermit section.
Yeah.
But like,
you're a Virgo.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's basically that there's something sacred. I believe that there's, that, for lack of a better word, there's something that's sacred, you know? And like, if anything can like draw attention to that, even though it doesn't stand out in space, which sounds like crazy, which sounds like it can't be, but I believe it can. And so I'm doing everything I can with my friends, who's my high weirdness brothers and sisters, to share what I fucking can and be receptive to what they want to share with me. And like, this is what it takes for me to fucking leave my town. This is a non-local event, for real. Like, this is not local in the first place for me, but then this isn't even local for me. I spent some time in LA, but I'm from Santa Cruz.
We're in the fifth.
Born and raised in Santa Cruz, you know, like, but I have resonance with it. Like, I feel it, and I see the fucking grand illusion. And though you guys didn't see fucking Jaws and 007 and whatever in Styx, you know, this, I'm trying to convey the grand illusion of the fucking Babylon thing. And in the midst of that, there is an organic intelligence to the thing that's giving birth to something. And I trust, because of what's primary, that whatever it's giving birth to is going to be okay.
Yeah.
And even though it might be way down the line, I got to take the fucking long view. I just got to remember that the dinosaurs didn't see us coming. And we're nullifying whatever fucking reptilian shit is in ourselves with its own duality and its own insanity. I would love a woman to be president, but I don't want her to be a reptile. I don't need another fucking reptile. I'm sorry if that offends. Not really. But like, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, we got rigged shit left and right. It's a grand illusion. And like, I don't know what's going to happen, but I want to get my kicks before the whole shithouse goes up in flames. And there's no better way to get your kicks than through the fucking center of the, like there's no way around this thing. The only way beyond is directly through. And so I appreciate my fellow people who want to go directly through it with me.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Thank you, David.
Amen.
Now, although we won't stop recording, we are done.
All right, well, thank you, everyone, for being a part of this. This is very lovely.
Yeah, you guys are all awesome. That was really
remember, we are always recording. Always recording. Always recording. Always recording.
Recording.
Work in progress. Take one. What are they doing in the hyacinth house? What are they doing in the hyacinth house to please the lions this day? I need a brand new friend, doesn't bother me. I need a brand new friend who doesn't trouble me. I need somebody who doesn't need me. I feel the bathroom is clear, and I know that someone is near. I feel that somebody's following me. Jack of hearts away. Why did you throw that jack of hearts away? Why did you throw that jack of hearts away? It was the, it was the only card in the deck I had left to play. What are they? Please the lion.